Well, morning, folks, in the auditorium and in the gallery. And hi, if you're joining us online, I'm really glad that you're sharing with us. And I pray that God will bless the time that we spend together. The author, Sheila Bethel, wrote a book called Making a Difference, 12 Qualities That Make You a Leader. It's not a Christian book, but it's an excellent book for any leader. Sheila says the first characteristic of leadership, quality number one that a leader has, is a mission that matters. She says the first quality of a leader is they have a mission that matters. So how do you make a difference with your life? She would say you find the answer to that question when you define your mission, having a mission that matters. A mission's not just a duty or a task. A mission is something that kind of invades your dreams. It's a vision. It's a purpose. It's something that gets you out of bed in the morning. It's something that drives you. Way back in 1989, I think it was, President Bush stood in front of about 3,000 students on the White House lawn, and he told them, choose as your mission in life to choose a mission that makes a difference. Choose as your mission in life to choose a mission that makes a difference. One of the things that struck me about Pieri when we interviewed him was that he had a mission that mattered. He wants, with pretty much every part of who he is, to share the good news of Jesus. And that mission matters to him, and it matters to God. But that's not just Pierre's mission. That's not just Maxine's mission. That's not just my mission. It's actually a mission for all of us. So today, I want us to look at fulfilling our mission in life. As we prepare to do that, let's pray. Our Lord God, when you invade our lives, you don't leave us alone. You actually call us to do something with our lives, to do something in our lives in relationship with you and with your Son, Jesus Christ. And as we think about that for just a few minutes this morning, we pray that you will refresh us, you will remind us of that which it is that you call us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. People who make an impact know what they're living for. They have a dream, they have a vision, they have a goal. They know what matters in life. Someone famously said, you are not ready to live until you know what's worth dying for. You're not ready to live until you know what's worth dying for. When you became a follower of Jesus, God gave you a new mission for your life. Today we're going to look at that mission to remind ourselves and to be up front. If there's anyone here this morning considering becoming a believer, you need to know up front what's going to happen the moment you commit your life to Jesus. Paul explains it in Acts 20, verse 24. Life is worth nothing, he says, unless I use it for doing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others about the good news about God's mighty kindness and love. Put another way, Paul said, my life doesn't count unless I complete my mission, unless I do what I was made to do. If I complete the task that God has given me, then my life matters. So what's my mission in life? If you're a believer, the moment you became a Christian, your mission in life changed from just getting to retirement and the end of life. So, our mission is to bring others into God's family. Romans 10, 13 and 14 says, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, but who can ask unless they believe in him? And how can they believe if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Do you get the logic there? How can somebody ask unless they believe? And how can they believe unless somebody tells them? The point here is, obviously, for a person to get connected with God, someone's got to tell them about God. We became a part of God's creation just by being born, but we become a part of God's community of people by choosing to be a part. And for most of us, somebody told us one day what it meant to be a part of God's people, God's family. And the Bible says that the moment I become a part of God's family, that became my mission too, to share the news with others. Somebody's got to tell them, and who's going to do it? Acts 1 verse 8 says, Jesus speaking, you will be my witnesses. What's a witness? Somebody who tells some news from a personal experience. You or I can witness to an accident, a crime, a wedding, a football game, a war. There's only one qualification for being a witness, that we were there when it happened. We don't have to know a lot about the Bible. We don't have to know a lot about theology. The Bible says every Christian is a witness because we just tell our story of what happened to us when we became a believer. The Bible calls this in Matthew 28, the Great Commission. He said we're to go everywhere and tell every person. Everywhere, every person. Regardless of my career, truck driver, doctor, accountant, stockbroker, whatever, my real mission in life, regardless of what my job is to tell others about Christ if I'm a believer. My mission is to help other people come into God's family. Second thing I want to say is our motive for that is love. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but wants everyone to come to him. God didn't make a person that he didn't love. Everybody matters. As long as there's one person who doesn't know Jesus, God wants that person to know him. God wants everyone in his family, and because God cares, we must care. That's why this church will never stop trying to grow, never stop trying to share the good news about Jesus. 2 Corinthians 15:14 says, the love of Christ compels us. The love of Christ compels us. Friends, let me let you in on a little clue about sharing the good news. People don't care how much I know. People don't care what you know. They don't care until they know how much we care. The first part of being a witness and fulfilling our mission is to simply love people and to care about them. If I had the cure for one of the diseases that kills tens of thousands of people each year and I kept it a secret, you would say that's criminal. If we have a surplus of food in our homes and our next door neighbour is starving, we would rightly say that's criminal. If you have the greatest news in the world and don't share it, someone said the world is far more ready to receive the good news than most believers are ready to share it. You can still find it in magazines around the world. The cover of US News and World Report asked, who wrote the Bible? Time magazine asked, who was Jesus? Life magazine asked, who is God? There's still a deep spiritual hunger around us. So our mission, Pierre, Maxine, Peter, everyone here, is to bring people into the community of God's people, and our motive is love. Third thing we can say is our message is good news. Mark 16:15 says, proclaim the good news to everyone, everywhere. Does that include work? Yes. School? Yes. The mall here in Bondi Junction? Yes. The shopping centre? Yes. Trains and buses? Yes. Everywhere. It's to be a part of our daily routine, if you like. Our mission is to share the good news. Don't miss anyone. Now, I have to say, I like to get good news. I'd much prefer to get good news than bad news. Sometimes if we're a Christian and we have a hard time sharing our faith, one of the reasons sometimes is that we've forgotten just how good the good news really is. It's great news. What's the good news? Last week I said it this way. The good news is in Jesus Christ, God gives us forgiveness for our past, purpose for the present, hope for the future. What could be better than that? Here's the good news summarized a different way from the Bible. God offers fulfillment. Jesus said, I've come so that you might have life and have it to the fullest. John 10:10. The first thing in good news is fulfillment. Jesus said, I have come so that you might have life. Not a religion, not a ritual, not rules and regulations, not ceremonies. The Christian life isn't a religion, it's a lifestyle. What kind of life? Life to the fullest. Are people looking for that? You bet they are. People want to be fulfilled. Second thing we can say is God offers freedom. John 8:36 says, if the Son sets you free, you will be really free. As I talk to people, one of the things people sometimes say is, I feel trapped. I can't seem to break out of a rut. I can't get out of this relationship. I can't break free from a habit. I can't get free of the circumstances. I can't break free from a memory. I'm trapped. The good news is, Jesus sets us free, like nothing else can. Free from the guilt of the past, free from resentment, free from bitterness, free from boredom, free from the expectations of others, free to be who God wants me to be. God wants to make us free. The more we let Jesus come into our lives, the freer we become. God offers us forgiveness. Romans 6:23, for sin pays its wage, death, but God's free gift is eternal life through Jesus. God says, I want to wipe the slate clean. I want to forgive you for whatever you've done wrong. I want to give you a clear conscience. I want to wipe out the past, give you a new start, a fresh approach. When I think of forgiveness and freedom and fulfillment, that's what everybody's spending their time and energy trying to find. And we've got an answer. We've got the answer. I need to remember how good the good news really is. We can think that most people are as happy and fulfilled and free as we are, and they're not. And frankly, the good news, it keeps sounding better and better every day. In the world where the news keeps getting worse and worse and people have tried one thing and then another, now people are saying, where am I going to find freedom and fulfillment and forgiveness? They've tried pretty much everything. Friends, we have good news to share. What's our method? How are we to share the good news? How are we to fulfill that mission? Well, two ways really, live it and share it. First, we have to demonstrate the good news. Titus 2:10 says, show you can be fully trusted so that in every way you will make the teaching about God attractive. We've got to demonstrate in every way in our lifestyle what it means to be a believer so that the teaching of God is attractive. God says that he wants you and me, if we're a believer, to live in a way that draws people to Christ. No pressure there. Is my life attracting anybody to Jesus? Is there anybody interested in Christian faith because of you and me? The fact is, we're being watched. Whether we like it or not, we're being watched by all the people in our world, our boss, our employees, our business associates, the people we go to school with, our family. There are some people in your life that only you would be able to reach. They need an expression of God in a personality like you that they can relate to. There are some people in your world, people that you will come in contact with, that if they could see God in you, working through you, working through your personality, your background, your interest, your education, the way God wired you as a person. If they could see God in you, that would be the thing that would help them step over the line and make a decision for Jesus. There are some people that will never be reached unless you and me, we do our part. It would be sad to be face to face with God one day, trying to explain why somebody else used my lifestyle as an excuse for not coming to Jesus. Wouldn't that be tragic? How I live my life and who you choose to share Christ with may make a difference in some people's lives. The second thing we have to do is share it. 1 Peter 3 says, be ready at all times to answer anyone who asks you to explain the hope you have in you. But do it, he says, with gentleness and respect. You don't hit them with your biggest Bible and say, turn or burn, you're going to die and fry while we go to the sky. Hasn't worked for me yet. Folks, that's not what reaches people. What reaches people is caring about them. We do it with the same gentleness and respect the way Jesus did. We need to not only live the life, but we have to verbalize it. We have to tell other people. It's not enough to just live the life. It says, be ready to give an answer. Have you ever heard somebody say, I don't talk to anyone about the Lord because my life is my witness? Think about the ego involved in that statement. That's saying I've attained such a level of my life that people automatically look at my life and fall down and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. By just looking at me, they say, what must I do to be saved? Be serious. We have to tell them how to. It's not just enough to live it. Even Jesus told people. How do people know if you're a Christian? I forget who said it. A lot of Christians, they said, are Arctic River Christians. They're frozen at the mouth. You say, I don't have the gift of evangelism. Neither do most people. That's just one of the gifts that some people are called to, evangelism. You're not called to be an evangelist, but everyone here who knows Jesus is called to be a witness. This is what happened to me. We need to be audio-visual Christians. We need to walk the walk and talk the talk. We say it and we show it. We do it both so people can see it and they can hear it. Be ready to share. That may mean you have to do something to help you do that, to get some training. Later in the year, we'll run a little course called Make a Difference at CMP. Last week, we called it November Nights, I think. It's about how to share our faith and discovering our mission. I want to encourage you to do that with us if you haven't done it before. As we finish up, here's three practical steps on how to get started in our mission. Pray for opportunities. Make a list of those around you and start praying for opportunities. Who should be on our prayer list? Who should be in our mission field? First, the people most immediately around us, our friends, our families, our neighbours, our business associates, our acquaintances, then the stranger that you meet on the bus or wherever. We're not responsible for people that we've never met. We're responsible for those we live with and who live nearby. Second thing is to build a bridge, a relationship, by listening and caring. The key word for sharing our faith is a relationship. Heard a story about a Chinese foreign exchange student who some Christian had helped come to faith in Jesus. He was explaining how it happened. He said, these are his words, that man cared for me. He built a bridge between my heart and his, and Jesus Christ walked across. That's what it's all about. Everybody's hurting somewhere. The key to being effective in sharing the good news is to listen. Eventually, one of those hurts, one of those needs, one of those interests is going to come up, and you can show how Jesus is the answer to that. But we've got to live it, and we've got to share it. This was a letter that a pastor received from a new believer who had written to the person who'd influenced them to become a Christian. It said this, when we first met, this is talking about the person who had influenced them to become a Christian, when we first met, I discovered in you a warmth and vulnerability and a lack of pretense that really impressed me. I saw a thriving spirit in you, no sign of internal stagnation. You were a growing person on the inside, and I liked that. I saw a strong sense of self-esteem, not based on the fluff of self-help books, but on something much deeper. I saw that you lived by your convictions, not by convenience or selfish pleasures. I'd never met anybody like that before. I found that you listened to me. You didn't just judge me outright. You tried to understand me. You sympathized with me and celebrated with me. You demonstrated kindness, not just to me, but to others as well. You stood for something. I saw in you the willingness to go against society and follow what you really believed to be true, no matter what people said or how much it cost. That really impressed me. For those and a whole list of other things, I found myself wanting what you had. Now that I'm a Christian, I want to tell you that I'm grateful beyond words for how you lived your Christian life out in front of me. Thanks for being a contagious Christian. Could anybody ever write that about me or about you? If not, let's get our act together. Can you imagine the joy in heaven of having somebody come up to you saying, thank you, you say, why, what for? And they say, you took the time to invite me to church, or you took the time to live the Christian life in front of me, or you took the time to give me a Bible or to talk with me about God. I gave my life to Christ, and today I'm here because of you. We build a bridge by listening and by caring. Three, you can always invite somebody to church. You can do that. You may be a one-day-old Christian. You may not know anything about the scriptures, but anybody can invite somebody else to church. After the service, take them out to lunch and say, what did you think? Just talk, be human, be open, take your mask off. What impresses people is when they see you struggling with the same things they're struggling with, but somehow you've got a different perspective on it. You've got a little power that gives you the energy to keep going when you want to give up. That's God. Our Sunday morning services here at Church in the Marketplace are most of the time designed so that you can bring your friends to them. It's designed to help you with your mission. A Mercedes commercial that came out a while back said, "Some things in life are too important not to share." Some things in life are too important not to share. The mission we're talking about today is critical. There's no greater cause. There's no greater purpose, no greater mission in life. There's nothing that is going to have a longer lasting impact because the results last for eternity. It's up to Pierre, it's up to Maxine, it's up to Peter, and it's up to every one of us. We all share the mission. Matthew 9, 35, 36 says, "When Jesus saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion because their problems were so great and they didn't know what to do or where to go for help. The harvest is so great and the workers are so few. Pray for more laborers." Notice Christ's compassion. It says he was moved with compassion. We're not going to move out there until we're moved in our heart. We need to ask God to help us start seeing the people around us from his different viewpoint. So here's something for you to do. Next time you're driving, next time you're on the bus or the train, pray, "Lord, how can I get the good news to these people as they're speeding by?" You're sticking to the speed limit, 50. They're going past you at 60 or 70. Pray, "How can I get them to stand still long enough to tell them that they matter to God and that you have a purpose for their life that is greater than just getting to the end of life?" Notice the people's condition. Their problems were so great and they didn't know what to do or where to go for help. That sounds like now. The real problem is a labor shortage. There are people in our world that only we can reach, and they're waiting for you and they're waiting for me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there may be some here today who've never even taken that first step and they haven't experienced personally the fulfillment, the freedom, and the forgiveness that you offer. I pray, Jesus, that you would make yourself real to them, that today they would say, "Yes, Jesus Christ, come into my life. I want to follow you. I want to feel your presence in my life." And I pray for others of us who are believers that we would pray. Lord, sometimes I've just forgotten how good the good news is. Help me to realize that I'm to share that good news with others. Give me the privilege of leading someone to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.